One of the most important point which is explained to us here in this university is that our rise and fall is because of our actions. If our actions are righteous, noble, good, then our state of mind is also high. And if on the other hand our actions are vicious, polluted, if we do sinful actions, therein lies our fall. So if we have now to get to a higher state of being, to a higher state of living, higher state of consciousness, or let me say higher state of experience, then I have to change my actions. My actions have to be of a higher quality. So that is the pivot, so to say. Our whole life is hinged on our actions. And our spiritual effort is mainly to change our behavior, to change our actions, so that our account of negative action ceases and we now can open a new chapter of our life, and henceforward all our actions should be righteous, pure, holy. So when we just concentrate our mind on changing our actions, the quality of our actions, then we find that there are mainly 16 kinds of actions which we generally do, mental or physical. 16 kinds. So we have therefore to change, to transform those actions qualitatively. When, for example, we say behavioral transformation, self-transformation, we tell people that in self-transformation lies the world transformation. What do we mean by self-transformation? Transformation in 16 kinds of actions. So therefore, we have to learn those 16 arts of doing action in a proper way, qualitatively in a higher way. Even worldly wise, if you just think the kinds of actions we perform from morning till we go to bed, you will find that these are 16 kinds of actions which we always indulge into. And one is to stop. When somebody is doing an action, either it would be stopping something. So where to stop, when to stop, how to stop. When, for example, you are driving a car, you have to learn how to stop your car. When there is red light, you have to stop the car. You have to apply the brakes. So you can get a license of driving a car, provided you know the driving properly. And one of the arts you must know of driving properly is to stop the car. If you just bump into another person's car, there will be an accident. If the brakes are loose, our head will break against another. So we have to learn how to stop, where to stop, when to stop. And Baba says in many of the Murlis, stop negative thinking. So this is one of the arts of spiritual life which we have to learn, how to stop. The question is, Baba says, stop negative thinking, wasteful thinking. Up to now, our thinking has had no brakes, or the brakes had broken down, they were loose. We would go on thinking, our mind would be wandering. Why we learn yoga? So that we can stop our mind when we like, when we want to do it. So Baba says, you are wasting your energy, your time, precious time, for nothing, on wasteful thoughts. And you are doing negative actions. These negative actions are the cause of your sorrow and suffering. If you therefore want happiness, one of the things you must do is to stop your negative actions. And in order to stop negative actions, you have to stop your negative thoughts. So stopping is one of the things. In Hindi, we call it rokna. You can note down the Hindi equivalents also. They will also be useful to you in this context. Rokna, to stop. Now, this art of stopping or rokna, stop means rokna and stop also means band karna. When there is leakage, you stop it. So stopping is not only of a movement, but stopping may also relate to some kind of stopping the leakage. So stopping is also of two kinds. One is stopping of leakage. The other is stopping of action. Negative thinking is an action that has to be stopped. And wastage or leakage also has to be stopped, which we sometimes do unconsciously, unawarely, without paying much of attention, it just happens. You know, throughout the day we have traffic control. During certain parts of the day, on fixed timings, we have traffic control. One of the purposes of traffic control is to help us to attain perfection in this art of stopping. The moment the song begins, we try to stop whatever we were thinking, whatever we were talking about. Immediately we put a stop to it. Baba says three dots. One is this dot, dot of stopping. So whenever there is a song which plays at the time of traffic control, we just stop at that and turn our mind towards Shiv Baba, towards positive thinking. Similarly, when we just get up in Amrit Vela and practice meditation, why we do it? That is one of the reasons. The whole meditation system is based on this, that when you practice meditation, you stop thinking of your body, of your physical relatives, of this phenomenal world, of the matters which relate to body and matter, and then you think only of the soul, the supreme soul, your sweet home, Paramdham, and things like that. So this consists of two things. One is moving your mind in a particular direction. The other is withdrawing it or stopping certain kinds of thoughts. If during the practice of meditation our mind does not stop, negative thoughts keep coming, thoughts of body consciousness keep coming, thoughts of the phenomenal world also enter our mind, then our meditation cannot be of good quality. So therefore we have to practice again and again this art of stopping. When we want to stop, we should be immediately able to stop. It shouldn't take much time. The better a yogi, the better he would have this art of stopping things, stopping thoughts, negative thinking, wasteful thinking. This is also a part of what we say mind control. When we say mind control, it means controlling our thoughts, and controlling our thoughts relates also to our control on the negative thoughts. All of us actually have two kinds of mechanism. One is the inhibitory, that is of stopping. The other is the facilitatory. You do a thing or you stop doing a thing. Everyone has this ability, more or less. Now, not only is it necessary to have the ability of doing, but the ability of not doing. There may be some impulsiveness in us. Sometimes some people are of impulsive nature. A thought would just come like a flood and they begin to do it. They cannot stop it. Similarly, our old sanskaras. Now, say someone is abusing me and I feel angry, I feel hated toward that person. The thought of hatred or anger enters my mind. But I have learned that I should not hate, I should not be angry. I should look upon everyone as a soul, as a brother. And I am the child of God. God is kind, He is loving, compassionate. I also must have that quality. But if at that point of time I do not know how to stop this thought of anger, this thought of hatred, then it will lead me to a negative action. So not only we have to stop at the consciousness level, but also at the sanskara level. Sometimes you are not aware. Your past sanskaras lead you to a negative action. So the stoppage has to be at that level also. Your negative proclivities, your negative tendencies, your negative habits, which have been formed during your previous life, or maybe in this part of life before you were introduced to knowledge, even those also have to be stopped. So yoga has to be so deep and our practice has to be so powerful that ultimately we are able to stop that also. Otherwise what happens is that we know what we are doing is wrong. We should not do it. This is not Shrimat, this is not Maryada. We as Brahmins should not indulge into this kind of thing. That awareness is also there, but we can't stop it. We are slaves to that habit, to that sanskara, as if someone is leading us by our nose into that. So we can't stop it. This, therefore, is the quality, the art of stopping, which we must learn. And as I was saying, the second part of it, stopping, rokana, and bandh karna, as I said, is to stop the leakage. What do I mean by leakage? Suppose I am not indulging in any negative thought. I am not talking ill of anybody. I am not hating anyone. I am not angry. There is no other evil thought. But I am just wasting my time on empty gossip. I sit with somebody and talk purposelessly about this thing, that thing, and the other thing. I begin to discuss about the political affairs, though I have nothing to do with it. I begin to discuss with worldly matters, and they remotely even do not concern me. So if I indulge into this kind of thinking, it may not be negative thinking, but it may be wasteful thinking, because I am not gaining anything by doing it. It is not bringing any benefit to me. So this leakage also has to be stopped. I make a distinction between the leakage and the negative thinking. Both have to be stopped. So this is one art which we have to learn, the art of stopping. And it has to be so much perfected that it becomes automatic. So that in the next two yugas, golden age and silver age, we have not to practice it. This is a natural way of our life. This negative thinking and leakage never happens again in future in our life. Therefore, it has to be perfected to that extent. Now, this is what I was discussing about the first. The second one is to move. Move. As for example, when I walk, I move. When I sit, I stop moving. So the first was stopping. I am writing, I am moving my pen. But I stop writing, I stop. So stopping was one of the arts, the other is the moving. All our actions consist either of this or of that. Stopping also is an action. It's a mental action. Now this move, this also, I will give you the Hindi equivalent, chalna. Chalna. Move means to chalna. And chalna and chalana. Move. I move myself. I make others move. To move or to make others move. Chalna, the first is move, the other is chalana, to make others move. We have to learn both. Some people know themselves how to move. They cannot move others. Those who can give movement to others, they are the leaders. They actually lead and guide others. So we have to learn both of them, to move and to make others move. Chalna and chalana. So, when I am discussing this second art, chalna, move, I have to make my mind move on the positive path, on the path of positive thinking. This is the area in which I have to move my mind. I have to stop it from the negative thinking. I have to move it towards the positive thinking. This is what actually yoga is. This is what actually spiritual life is. Previously, we lead body conscious life. We think of body, we are conscious of and aware of body, But now we stop that kind of thinking, and on the other hand, I think I am a soul, I am a child of God, and such like other thoughts come to my mind. So positive thinking. And Baba says, move on the pilgrimage of remembrance. Why he says pilgrimage of remembrance? It could simply be said, it is remembrance. Yoga is remembrance. But Baba says it is pilgrimage of remembrance. You have to move towards Paramdham, from here to there. Move out of the body and into the soul world, or into the avyakta dham, the subtle world. So this kind of movement has to be undertaken now. And then, when we listen to Baba's murli, thereafter has to be churning. Churning is also moving the mind, cogitating what you have already listened to, what you have understood. So this is another kind of movement which Baba asks us. We have to engage our mind into churning of spiritual knowledge. Then, sometimes we have to move, not only to move, but to move fastly. Baba says, tivra purusharthi. Anyone who makes very sincere and hard spiritual efforts, fast spiritual efforts. When the aeroplane is there at the airport, it is first of all it is standstill. It is halting. But then it begins to move. And then it moves very fastly. Then is the takeoff stage and it goes into the air. Before going into the air, it moves fastly. Similarly, we can also attain that flying stage of angels when we move fastly. When we come to spiritual knowledge, we begin to move. We stop the old negative thoughts. We begin to move our mind into churning and into positive thinking. Then you have to move fastly. Do your spiritual effort at a great speed, rapid speed. Become tivra purusharthi. And then you become angel. Move it so fastly that you get off and into the air. That is the flying stage. And I said, this move also means chalana. Now chalana also has number of kinds into which it can be classified. One is to make others move. You should be so fast in your spiritual efforts that others who have got stuck up and are not moving, they are somewhere stuck up into maya because of some negative thought. They cannot make spiritual efforts. You should be able to give them movement. Accelerate their movements. Inspire them into a higher stage, into a better stage. So this is chalana. Similarly, chalana also means you are given some duty, some responsibility. There are people with different sanskaras, different habits, and you have to work with them. That working relationship with them has to be very comfortable, very soothing, so that you can bear with them. Now that also means chalana. Because in your spiritual efforts, in your spiritual life, so many problems will come. If you get disturbed or depressed or tense, it is not chalana. Chalana means you let them. You don't get stuck up at that. So chalana also means that you let them. Move means to let them. Which in other words means that if sometimes you feel heavy because of certain circumstances, you feel worried, there are some tough problems in your life, you can't solve them. So that means you do not know this art of chalana. In the face of problems, you should make light of them. That is actually what is meant by chalana. Somebody is saying something, if you just become tense about it, your nature is not so, you are not comfortable with others, you cannot adjust, then very often it will so happen that you again and again get stuck up and tense. But your personality should be so developed that even if you are in a group and there are very tough problems, then you make light of them. You should be able to smoothen your path and march on and on, further and further. That kind of training of our mind we have to practice. And the neurobiologists, the brain scientists say that we are not using much of our mental potential. There are so many abilities in us, but we are not making use of them. And we have not been making use of them. And as a result of that, those abilities become atrophied. Now we can't use them. If you don't move your machinery or something for quite a long time, then it becomes rusty, it becomes junk, it does not move. Similarly, there are certain abilities within us, and service gives us those abilities, those opportunities in which we can use those abilities. If we do not use our abilities, then those abilities become atrophied. We lose our confidence in them. We lose the power or the faculty to use them. So, when I say move means I should be using all the abilities which I have. Some people have the ability of writing, but they are not writing. Some have the ability of delivering a speech, they are not using that ability. Others can conduct some courses, but they are not using that ability. Others may have the ability of doing some VIP service or public relations, but they are not using that ability. So if you don't use those abilities for a long time, those abilities will dry up. They will become atrophied. Then after a long period, you will feel you have no confidence in you. And if someone asks you to do it, you will say, I can't do it, though actually the ability is there. So when I say to move, and Baba says to move fastly, to make fast efforts, it means use all your abilities for a divine cause, for a noble purpose, for a greater global service, for the well-being of others. In order to change this iron-aged world into the golden-aged world, use all those abilities, energies, powers which you have in you. So that is actually what is moving. This was the second art, the art of moving, chalna and chalan. The third is to control. Now, this consists of both the ones which I discussed earlier, to stop and to move. In this case, you have not to stop totally. You have not to move very fastly. Sometimes you move, sometimes you stop. You want to give them as much speed as you like. You have a hold on them. So this is what I mean by controlling. Controlling is that ability. Somebody is very angry, at that time you stop. But you do not totally stop. You think you must tell this man that he is wrong. So you wait for that time when you have to speak to him. You can control your mind. Otherwise, there are some people who can't control their mind and they can't stop them at that moment. So they burst out and the result is a kind of a big quarrel. So, but in this case, in the art of controlling, this yoga meditation is the art of controlling our mind. We do not think of the world at that time and of the worldly matters, our office work, our homework and other things. But just at that time, our mind is occupied completely with the spiritual thoughts. So this is the control of mind. And control also means that when there are certain problems, certain difficulties in your life, or someone says something, you can be perfectly at ease, either to give weight to them or to make light of them. This also is controlling. Somebody is saying something, if you do not understand its significance, if you don't increase its weight, when somebody says something to me, I say it has no weight. His arguments have no weight. Now, arguments do not have weight in the other sense, in this gross sense. But it means they are not appealing to me. There is nothing, we say, nothing solid in them. Arguments are not supposed to have something solid, as we read in physics about solids, liquids and gases. Not that kind of thing. But when I say the weight, I should be able to give weight if someone who is senior to me and is saying something seriously. Now to this statement of that person, I should be able to give weight. The words are the same. Then at another time, another opportunity, another occasion, someone is saying something humorously, in a lighter vein, jokingly, and if I make serious of it, I feel hurt. It's not control. So I should be able to give weight to certain things and make light of other things, depending upon the time, depending upon the occasion. If there is seriousness, I should be able to give seriousness to it. And if there is non-seriousness or light-heartedness, I should be able to take that in that light. So when I refer to controlling, this kind of controlling is also necessary. Otherwise you will find that some people are very sensitive. Someone just laughs and says something in a lighter tone, but this person who is very sensitive, he takes it very seriously and feels hurt. He cannot take even a joke. And when sometimes we ask a person, this is very serious, you must do it, he does not give seriousness to it, makes light of it. Why we are not able to practice certain things which Baba says and Murlis times out of number repeatedly, again and again? Because we don't give proper weight to it. Shiv Baba, who is the holiest of the holy, the almighty father, and the most knowledgeful one, who knows the present, the past and the future, and for our own well-being he is saying this, we are not able to give that much weight, that much importance to it. And the result is that we are not able to practice it. So we are making light of it. After all, Baba is our Baba. So if he says it, then we are making all the effort to practice it in our life. After all, during many past lives we have been doing negative. What Baba says cannot come within just an hour or a minute or in a day or in a month. It will take some time. So by giving these kinds of arguments, we make light of it. Whereas we should actually give weight to it. That also is a kind of controlling. That we should be able to control our sense of judgment, attaching seriousness or weight or lightness to something which is happening. Controlling on this according to the occasion, according to the person, according to the demand of the opportunity. Then another kind of action is to give up, chhodna, to give up, to renounce. Certain things have to be given up. They not only have to be stopped for some time, and they have not to be moved at all, but they have to be given up. And one of our spiritual efforts is to give up, to renounce. All the evils which were there in our life, sex lust, anger, greed, attachment, and so on, we have to give up. Now those who have learned this art, they are able to give it up very easily, quickly, and totally. Those who have not yet learned this art, or have learned it only partially, not perfectly, they give up certain bad habits, but they carry with them certain other negative habits. They have been able to minimize them, to lower their degree, lower their intensity, but they have not been able to totally eliminate or eradicate them from their life. And this is actually our dedication. When we dedicate our life to Shiv Baba, we can do that, provided we can give up what is bad in us. And when we say that we are newly born, we have taken a new life, the past is over, then it means this, that we have totally forgotten our past. We have opened a new chapter of our life. This is possible only when we are able to give up, totally withdraw, totally renounce. Renunciation, Baba says, is not the renunciation of your hearth and home or your job, but renunciation of your mind. And this is what I mean by giving up. What you have given up, never take it back again. I say, I promise to myself, I promise to Baba that I have given up anger. If anger comes back again to me, if again I become angry, it means I do not have learned the art of renouncing perfectly. To renounce means to renounce once for all. When I have given up, I have given up. In worldly things, when you give something, it no longer remains yours. You don't even touch it. You say, I have given it up. It no longer belongs to me. But in this case, in our spiritual efforts, these past habits, bad habits, come back again and again to us, which is the lack of the power of renunciation, to give up. This is the art which we have to learn. Now, in meditation, we have also to practice detachment from the body. This detachment is also giving up. What happens is, why we practice it again and again? So that ultimately it becomes natural. We give up body consciousness. In meditation, we practice this. I am a soul, I am a point of light. In my original nature, I am pure and peaceful. I remind myself of these points of my identity, so that I may be able to give up, to renounce my past wrong learning, wrong understanding. We have not only to renounce body consciousness, but all our past bad learning, wrong learning. It's very difficult to renounce learning, to unlearn what you have learnt through books, through periodicals, through newspapers, through other media, electronic media, through your friends. They have always been bombarding us with some kind of information. This soul, which is just a point, carries so much with it. So much information it is loaded with. It's very wonderful, very miraculous that a point of light, the tiniest, infinitesimal, contains so much information. Past sanskaras of so many lives, and also information of this life. The end of the 20th century, when so much information is coming to us every moment. It's all recorded there. To get detached from this whole false, bad, wrong learning is actually renouncing. But it's a great art and it requires a lot of practice. Our full happiness, full bliss, full flowering of our personality will happen only when we have renounced it. Otherwise, these bad things are still there, hidden somewhere in any corner of our mind. Though we are having the new one, the positive one, the one which Shiv Baba is giving to us, but still the bad, the rubbish, the useless, the negative, which is pulling us down, is still there. So that is to be renounced. Now, this was another art. The other is to hold. The first was to stop, the other was to move. The third was to control, the fourth was to give up, to renounce. And this fifth is to hold. Now, when we listen to various points of knowledge, we have to hold them in our memory. What happens is, when the time comes for the practical application, at that time our mind is not able to recollect them. We are not able to use them. It is because we do not hold them when we should hold them. At that time, Baba says this is like a boxing between the soul and the Maya. And you have to win by certain points. And if those points do not come, like an advocate who goes to the court and wants to plead the case of a criminal who will otherwise be hanged if he is not proved to be innocent, then at that moment when he has to give some references from law books and tell the judge that this man, because of this reason, I say that he has not committed the crime. If he forgets those recent judgments or those points of law, and when he comes back home, at that time he remembers, oh, I should have given this point, and then this man would have been let free. But this man will be hanged because you forgot that point. This is like our spiritual effort. If when Maya attacks us, if at that time we do not remember, you have a pistol, a gun in your house, so that if someone attacks, then you are able to make use of it. But just it is lying all the time on your table or in your almirah for all these years. But now that this man has entered your house and is there to attack you, at that time you don't know where that pistol or gun is. So the weapon is there, but you are not able to use it because that is not available, that is not at hand, and you are not remembering them at the moment. So when I say hold, holding means this, that it comes to your mind, to your help, to your aid, to your use when you require it. Otherwise, we study so much knowledge, listen to so many murlis, but either we forget them or they become relapsed. They are not of any use to us. Knowledge is only that part which is of use to you on proper occasion. You may have learnt lot of mathematics, lot of physics, lot of geology, biology. But if When you require it, you have forgotten all, then it's no use. So is this art of holding, that you must, if you are an advocate and you have to practice law, then you must remember those points of law. Otherwise, give up this profession. If you are a doctor, you are practicing medical profession, you must remember what disease a person is suffering from, what medicine you have to give, what advice you must give. If you don't give, you are not a worthy doctor, a good doctor. Similarly, when you practice spirituality, practice meditation, a yogi way of life, you must remember what thing should come one, what you are supposed to do. So that is what I mean by saying that I must hold it in my mind. Similarly, the divine qualities, the virtues. Just at the time when I should have patience, if I at that time lose my patience, I don't hold it. This divine quality is not just a mere decoration, it should be there in my mind. Not mere academic learning. But I must hold it, so that when I require to be patient, when I must have patience, I must observe this. Similarly with other virtues. So this is what I mean by holding. Then the other is sankuchit, sankoch karna, to squeeze, to make narrow, to contract, so to say. This is another art. Sometimes you expand certain things by pulling them. The other is that you let them contract. Now this is the desires, for example. That Baba says you must, after all we have to have some desires. They say as long as we live, we have hopes and desires. Desire has to be there, even to become divinized, spiritualized, or to work for our self-transformation is also a desire. Noble desires have to be there. But we have to squeeze them, to make them into few. That our, previously there were so many desires. But now those desires, the number of desires has to be reduced. Similarly, we have shyness. Some people are very shy. Shyness is also a quality, a virtue. But we have to reduce it. Where we have to feel shy, we must feel shy. Because shyness enables you to give up some bad things. When you feel shy, if I do this bad thing, if I become angry, what will people say? What will this Brahman family say? So you hesitate at that time. You think you must not do. So this kind of hesitation or shyness or little bit of inhibition should also be there. It helps you to observe sab maryadas. But too much of shyness, too much of hesitation, too much of inhibition is wrong. Similarly, too many desires, being very much ambitious so that we lose our peace of mind. So that also is wrong. We have to reduce their quality or their number, squeeze them. Then another is to experiment, to make use of certain things. There is a fire in your kitchen and you are making use of it to heat certain things. Similarly, there are other things which you make use of or you experiment with. Baba says you should do experiments with yoga. Not only you should practice meditation, but you should experiment with yoga. Do experiments of yoga. Not only we have to become light and might, but we have to experiment with it. Our practice of light and white should be so much that others should see us as light. When they come before us, they should be able to see our aura of light. They should be able to feel our powerful vibrations of peace, of love, of might, whatever vibrations we want to give them to experience of, we should be able to do it. Someone is very peaceless. Now, experiment with yoga. Make use of your yoga to give peace to this person. Someone has lost the confidence and says, I cannot practice purity. Yoga is not for me. I can't take this spiritual life. It's difficult for me. I have different kind of habits. So, has very weak willpower. So, you should be able to give with your power of yoga. You should be able to strengthen his willpower. With your powerful vibrations, when he, after conversation with you, after being with you for some time, he should be able to say, now he has his confidence restored, he would be able to do it. So this is what Baba says is experimenting with yoga. So that not only you have bliss and peace and love. Anyone who has no love for Shiv Baba, he says, I have been an atheist all through. I was totally deadly against spiritualism. I was totally in materialism. I never thought of I am a soul or whatever. So I can't to take this kind of life. I should be able to inspire him. By my love for Shiv Baba, it should be so strong. He should see into my eyes, on my face and my vibrations. As if from my talk he should gather that I really love someone, and it should touch his heart. He should say that what you are saying is based on experience, not some academic study. And when you are saying this, I could see that you are in a different state of being. I was also feeling little bit of peace, you know. So now I can understand what this spiritual love is, or what this peace is. This is what I mean by making experiments or using certain things, like we use in our worldly things. The other is to postpone. To postpone. Now you will think that postponing is a bad quality. Why is Jagdish Bhai saying to postpone things? Certain things have to be postponed. Now this is what Baba was generally using, another art, art of postponing. Someone came to this spiritual knowledge, met Bab Dada, and he said, Baba, this knowledge is very good. What you say is correct. But I have worldly ambitions. I want to earn money, make lot of money. And I can't be completely celibate or pure. I want to marry and lead a very worldly kind of life. So all through I have been yearning for that kind of life. And now that I am thinking of it, you say that I must observe purity. Baba, everything is fine, but this I can't do. So Baba would say to him, all right, if you cannot observe brahmacharya or purity for the whole of the rest of your life, can you do it for the next 2 years, for 3 years? Can you postpone your marriage for 2 years? He would say, for 2 years I can postpone, Baba, that's not difficult. If you say just for the whole of my life I can't become celibate, but if you just want that for 2 years I should wait, okay. For love of you, I can wait for 2 years. Now when he practices brahmacharya for 2 years, after 2 years he will not say, Baba, I want to marry. Because now he has tasted the bliss of being a pure person. So this kind of postponement, if any bad thought comes in your mind, postpone it. I will do it after some time. You are getting angry. You say, all right, not today, after about, say, tomorrow or day after, I will talk to this man, you see. And by that time, your anger will have gone and you will be a wiser person. So postpone, this kind of postponing. If some good thing has to be done, don't postpone it, do it immediately. Because later on you may think, I don't want to do it. You may change your mind. So good things have to be done immediately. Shubham tu shigram, they say in Sanskrit. The good thing must be done immediately. And the bad thing, it is better to postpone. So this is another art of spiritual life. And as I was saying, for good things, Baba gave us the slogan, now or never. Now or never. Don't even say, from tomorrow I am going to do it. Not from tomorrow, from now I am going to do it. Always apply this slogan, now or never. Then another art is to, what I should say, like the rivers go into the ocean, into the sea, they merge into the ocean. So you also, if there are certain things, they also, you can have them in their mind without they affecting you. That kind of thing, so that they can merge in your thoughts. This kind of thing. Someone talks ill of you, love both of them. If you are not affected by them, and you just listen to them, you see, they go into your mind. Through your ears they come to your attention. But as the rivers go into the ocean without the ocean appearing to be getting very high in level, you know, That sort of thing should happen. In your life you will meet many persons who will praise you so much. So don't get puffed up, don't feel egoistic. Because you have to think that these are the qualities which Baba gave you. It is Baba's, whatever is being done through you, you are just an instrument. You have to observe humility in your life. Others will find fault with you. They will point their finger at your shortcomings, that you are doing this thing wrong, that thing wrong. So if you just listen to them and do not, you see, if it does not merge in you, then you may feel disturbed, depressed, and you will feel of sometimes perhaps giving up that good action. You will say, I am not perhaps a worthy instrument, a better instrument, so therefore I won't do it in future. You will get disheartened. You will have a defeatist feeling. So if you want to remain above them, then let anybody sing the praise or let anybody abuse or just talk ill of you or criticize you, comment negatively on you. You don't bother about it. What proper word you would like to use for it? This kind of thing. That so many things will happen in your life, but successes will come, failures will come, and you must have equanimity. I mean equilibrium, balance, no disturbance. But that is possible only when your mind is so broad, so deep, it can contain it, you see. If a glacier is there, it can contain it. If a mountain rock comes into you, your mind can contain it. Your mind is so deep, so wide, that it can bring, anything may come into it, it remains unaffected. In Hindi, we call it samalena, samalena. We can contain it, our mind can contain it, without losing its contentment, without losing its equipoise. Like Baba is Sarvashaktiman, he is almighty, he is not affected by any of these things. Some people are totally atheist and they have been using such a rough and disrespectful language about God, condemning him. There is no God. It does not affect him. And some people have been praising God without understanding God, bhaktas, without knowing God properly. And their praise also has been some kind of a calumny, some kind of a, you see, actually disrespectful thing about Baba. About God. For example, they have been saying God is omnipresent. And Baba says, I am not in cats and dogs. What they actually meant perhaps was the praise of God, though actually it means defamation of God. So Baba is above both these. He can contain all these. Samalena. When your friend says something to you out of anger, you don't mind it. Perhaps not to mind it is proper, you see. This is the proper word, not to mind it. The praise or the opposite of it, you don't mind it. You remain unshaken in the face of both of it. You can absorb it, so to say, like the sponge which absorbs it. If you squeeze it, the water goes out. If it's full, it's okay. Like that spongy quality, you can say. The shortcomings of others, and this actually enables you to adjust with others. You can't otherwise adjust unless or until you have this quality. Then another is to glorify. We have to glorify Shiv Baba. Similarly, in your life also, when you talk to somebody, these are the two things. One is that you talk good about some people. Some people are in your good books. And you begin to praise them. Dadiji, oh, Dadiji is like an angel. Shiv Baba is so kind, so loving. So when you just in your life mix with people, talk to people and discuss certain things, and even when you think in your thought, one of the elements of your thinking, or one of the actions which you generally do is the glorifying others. Something you glorify. Either it may be a thing or maybe a person you are glorifying. But in this case, to glorify Shiv Baba. Now this is the art of spiritual life. If someone says you are a good instrument and you are doing good thing, suppose someone says Dadiji is a great leader, during her period of taking over charge of this institution, So many centers have been opened. The service has so much flourished. So many people have got the message, so on and so forth. But what will Dadiji say? It is all Baba who is doing it in a wake fall. I am just an instrument. And it is with the help and cooperation of all of them that this thing is happening. It's not because of me alone, but it is a collective effort and all under the guidance of Shiv Baba. So when someone talks brightly of you or mentions merits of you, then you must point towards Shiv Baba and say, you must glorify him. Don't accept that glory for you. Accept that you must mention it for Shiv Baba. And when we do some actions, always either we are happy to do it, or we do it as if we are under compulsion to do it, or we do it with some kind of a hesitation. Whenever you do something, there is some kind of a feeling with that action, which goes in your mind. It is not that you do it without any kind of a feeling. Somebody asks you to do something, you say, oh sure, I'll be pleased to do this. And you feel happy to do this. And sometimes you face a sorrowful face when somebody asks you to do it. You think it's a lot of burden somebody has given you without getting your permission. And you perhaps are not willing to do it. But you think under these circumstances, you don't feel happy to do it, but you do it. You see. But in this case, the art of spiritual life is that you do things gladly. Enjoy them. Since you have to do things, if you get that negative feeling, that feeling of sorrow, that feeling of compulsion, they become a burden on you. They very badly tell on your nerves. They feel you fatigued. They drain your energy. If on the other hand you enjoy them, then you get that quality, your life qualities enhance. You become a better person. Especially in regard to the service which is related to yajna. Suppose the teacher, Dadiji, someone asks you to do some service of yajna. Now, you may feel that there are certain other things also which you have to do. So if you do it for a good cause, some of them do it gladly. Others do it with great reservation, hesitation, with a great, thinking it a great burden, and not willingly, voluntarily, as if under some pressure. But still they give some money. They give some donation. But this makes ultimately lot of difference in their personality development as well as the result of their action. If you do something gladly, not only it makes you a better person, it gives you happiness and you become generous philanthropist. Because you give voluntarily for good causes, it becomes a good quality, a virtue in you. And if you give it under some burden, under some pressure, then it means you are a weak person, that you are being pressurized by others, you accept pressures, you cannot stand pressures, that means you are weak willpower. So it changes your whole perspective, your attitude towards life. So if you want to make some contribution in kind of action, in form of action or money or ideas or in any other form, do it gladly with heart and soul. That will give you many benefits. And when you do this, suppose someone gives 1 Indian rupee for a good cause but gladly. Another man gives 1,000 rupees but under compulsion. Now this giving of 1 rupee gladly is more than 1,000 rupees under compulsion. Because his goodwill is there. Good vibrations are there. For a good cause, not only money is required, but your blessings, your good thoughts, your vibrations, your mental cooperation is also required. So that is also what you are giving along with the money. That has much more meaning. Therefore, whenever you do something for yajna, yajna service, physical service. Suppose you give 1 week course. You don't have the time for that purpose. But somebody says that is the only time available to him. So you say, okay, I will try to find out time and be with you at that period. So always when you give the course, you are under the feeling that this time does not suit you. But since this time suits this person, therefore you have to find out this time. There is no other way. As if you are doing under a compulsion. So not only you are giving the knowledge, along with that knowledge, you are those feelings, those vibrations are also being conveyed to that person. That person is also not very happy because you are not happy. If with the knowledge you give a happy feeling to that person, oh, why not? If you just are able to get this knowledge, become transformed and become inheritor of Shiv Baba's property and have a link with Shiv Baba, I will feel very great. You are my brother. I can do this for you, you see. If that is the feeling, then that person gets this feeling and additional value is there along with that knowledge, which will also influence this soul. So your actions should reflect that happy feeling. Otherwise, mentally and physically we become sick, and the person whose service we are doing or for whom we are doing also becomes sick. Along with the knowledge, you are also passing on sickness to others, infecting others, so to say. That should not happen. Whenever you do any kind of service, suppose we say there is a procession tomorrow, will you join the procession? I say, but my legs are aching and I don't feel like walking. But if I don't go, they will say, this person was sleeping in the room and did not join the procession. So I have to go. You may walk short distance, okay. You may not even just join the procession for a long walk. Just stand at the gate and when the procession starts, with a happy feeling say like this, you know. You just send them off. That is better. Rather than you feel as if you are dying out of compulsion. As if somebody has put a burden on you and you have to do it. Otherwise your teacher, your colleagues, and if the report goes to the seniors, this person was sleeping in the room but did not do this, you know. That kind of feeling should not be there, whatever you do. Because ultimately in Satyuga, all of us will have a happy personality. Baba says, be holy, be happy. This is the slogan given to us. So if you are doing something for holiness without happiness, then that will not be Satyuga. Satyuga will be there when holiness and happiness are combined together. Similarly, when you make these efforts, any action which you do, it should reflect your gladness, your happiness. When people come here, more than they benefit by the speeches which are delivered from this dais, more than the messages which are they given, they see the happy faces of people serving here. And they say, oh, they are doing so voluntarily with love, lot of the care they give us. And no one feels fatigued, no one feels tired. And there is a smile on their face, totally relaxed, we see them. And when they see this, this is the practical glorification of Shiv Baba and of the knowledge which is being imparted here. Because the result is there, the practical application, it is on the face, written largely on the face rather than in the notebooks. So that is what actually carries the meaning. Even in otherwise, whatever you do in your life, don't do like with your face as if something is aching you. Always feel, ha ha ha. Feel happily, do it, you see. With a pleasure, yes, why not? We generally say, I will be glad to do it, without being glad. It is just a formality. But our heart should really be glad. That is the feeling. And the other is, whatever you do, do it with concentration, with focus. Even small things, those people who do it with concentration, full effort, mental as well as physical, concentration not only of the mind, but all your energy, put all your energy into it. Then you attain high class success. And there are so many consequences of it. If you attain high class success, full success, then you feel encouraged. For the future also it builds up your confidence that you are able to do it. You go from success to higher success. If once you fail, it gives you disappointment. And then next time you feel hesitant to do it. The reason is that whatever you do half-heartedly. Don't do half-heartedly. Do it with full heart, do it with full concentration. And yoga teaches us this concentration. Just as our yoga consists of the art of stopping, art of moving, art of holding, art of controlling, all these are there in meditation. If you find all these arts which we are using in meditation also, meditation is enhancing all these arts which I just mentioned, 16. And similarly this, that when you do it with concentration, yoga gives you concentration. And the result is, when you are writing, you are doing with concentration. When you are cooking, you are doing with concentration. Not that you are burning your finger or burning what you are cooking, or cooking what you are burning. But you are doing it perfectly, whatever you do. So, with concentration. And what is yoga? Yoga is attention. Attention. Attention on Shiv Baba. Attention on your own real identity. Attention is on Paramdham. And that full attention is called concentration. So whatever you do, don't do it with in a haphazard way, in an unplanned way, or inattentively, lazily, but do it with earnestness, in a planned and organized way, and with full attention to it. Then you will attain the result. And people will have confidence in you. Not only you will have confidence in you, others will also have confidence in you, and whatever is the important thing to be done with responsibility, they will give it to you, assign it to you. They will say, give this to that person. If that person accepts it, he will do it meticulously well. We can assure you from our experience with that person, whatever that person undertakes, does it perfectly well. You can totally depend upon that person, leave it to him. So that is a great thing. Not only you are satisfied, others are also satisfied. And Baba says you have to attain these three certificates. You should be satisfied with yourself, others should be satisfied with you, Shiv Baba should be satisfied with you. If you are satisfied, others are also satisfied, Shiv Baba has no reason to be dissatisfied. He will also be satisfied. When you surrender to him, he will also surrender to you. That is the equation. So, whatever you do, do with concentration, with attention. Otherwise, don't do it, you see. It is better not to do it. Because not doing is better than doing in a wrong way, you are spoiling the thing. Don't spoil it. Some people, when you give something to them, they not only not do it, they spoil it. And you say, Baba, in future I am not giving it to you. I'll learn a lesson. You spoil things. If you had not to do it, you should have told me earlier, you can't do it, you have no time. You know, there are some people, you give them some work to do, they will not do it at the proper time. They will make excuses. This thing happened, that thing happened, other things happened. They give you so many explanations. You are wanting the work done, not the excuses done, you know. Not all those kinds of explanations and so many clauses and sub-clauses of explanation. You will not be satisfied with those explanations, but the work which is done. Work has not been done, only explanation has been, thought out as to when this question is made, what should I reply. This is now how people will be satisfied. Thing has to be done. So this is building up the willpower. When you do practice of meditation, this again is willpower. Nothing can enter your mind. You are decided. You will think of Shiv Baba only. When you sit in meditation, the very first thing is you prepare. What is the preparation? The strong willpower. I will not think of the body, I will not think of the world, I will think of Shiv Baba. If you sit resolutely with this kind of strong willpower, nothing, no other thought can enter your mind. And only Shiv Baba will enter your mind, my most beloved one. I want to talk to Shiv Baba, all others get out. You see. No one is required at this moment. The important thing to be talked about is a very serious matter. You see, I have to talk to Shiv Baba, no one can enter. Please let me alone for this time. When somebody sleeps, he puts a sign outside, don't disturb, sleeping, you see. So when I am in meditation, that kind of thing. I am in my meditation, I have an appointment with Shiv Baba. The greatest appointment. No one can enter like that. And the willpower is the most important thing. You cannot do anything great in this world unless and until our willpower is strong. It's a must. So be shaky. Whether I will be able to do, when you ask some people to do this, they will say, I will try. What do you mean by try? You see. You will say, surely I will do it. You see, that strong willpower makes the battle, that half of it is already won. When you think it is done, it is done. Well begun is half done, they say. So that has to be there with concentration and willpower. And another is intention, your motive. What is most important behind all the actions is your motive. Why you want to do it? Some people suppose want to donate it, donate money for a good cause. They want to donate it not thinking that they should donate, it's a good thing, they must donate. That it comes from the depth of their mind that, yes, I have a lot of money. I would be happy if it is used for this purpose. Not because of this, but because other people will say, look, this man, how generous he is. He's a great philanthropist. I will earn a good name. People will mention by name among themselves when they sit, that this person always helps. So half of my money I am spending on my publicity. It means I am not donating for a good cause, not, I mean, with that kind of motive. My motive, half of my motive is moth eaten. It is because I am thinking I will earn a good name, fame. In the newspapers, on the marbles, my name will be written, or on some nameplate, or it will find mention from the stage, such and such person has given this much money, you know. Or people will clap hands, offer me garlands, bouquets, saying he is a great man, he helps in all these noble causes, you know. So that means I am spending on my publicity, advertisement. It's not for a noble cause. So what you do, what is your intention? Is it for the well-being of all? For the greatest good of my brothers and sisters the world over? So that others may be happy. Baba has given this to me, I share it with others. That should be the feeling. That is the real charity. Baba says, the real generosity. That is one of the best qualities which Shiv Baba has. Shiv Baba is knowledgeful. If Shiv Baba were only knowledgeful, peaceful, blissful, loveful and almighty, without being generous, we would have all died, starved, you see. Because we would not have been able to get knowledge, peace, light, might, whatever he has. We have it because he is generous. He gives it. He says, children, all my property is for you. I have come to give you. You even did not know that I would give you. I have come to give you. So this disposition, this personality trait of sharing with others, giving to others, what is the difference between Satyuga and Kaliyuga, Golden Age and Iron Age? The people in Golden Age give. Devta. Devta means those who give. And in Iron Age, in Satyuga, like this. In Iron Age, like this. Only difference. They say in Sanskrit, somebody said, what is the difference between Golden Age, Silver Age and the other two ages? He said, in Golden Age, people said, Yuyam yuyam, vayam yuyam. Yours is yours. Mine is also yours. Out of love, everyone will say, yours is yours, rest assured. But don't think mine is mine. Mine is also yours. You can use it whenever you like. Don't think since it is mine, it is not yours. Mine is also yours. You know, where there is love, you always think like that. My everything is for you. So that was in Golden Age. Yuyam yuyam. Vayam yuyam. Yours is yours, mine is also yours. And in, so also in silver age. And in copper age, they said, yuyam yuyam, vayam vayam. Yours is yours, mine is mine. Don't touch mine, you see. This is justice. Previously there was love, now there is justice. Justice means you have your own, I will have my own, you see. You can't touch mine, I can't touch yours. So each one has one's own. And in Iron Age, yuyam, vayam, vayam, yuyam, vayam. Mine is mine, yours is also mine. So it has become the opposite way. In Iron Age, this is what is happening. Giving that charitable disposition, it is all for you. I'll be happy if you have it, you see. That feeling of happiness when others have it, even if you are deprived of it, even if you don't have your own share, that kind of thing, that kind of attitude is what will bring Golden Age. So your intention, your motive, whether you are doing something out of jealousy, somebody is donating 101 rupees, you say, I will give 201 rupees. Why? You want to beat this man out of jealousy. You are giving 201 rupees not because you want to be more generous, but because you must be considered better than this person. You know, it is out of jealousy, rivalry. So, what is the motive of your actions? Not only the actions have to be controlled, actions have to be stopped or moved or changed, as I said earlier, but our motives, our intentions have to be genuine, divinized, spiritualized. And so also, our sthiti, our mental stage, our spiritual stage. Baba says, it is better don't do anything in a body conscious way. First of all, set your stage properly. Be soul conscious. When a person comes, you begin to conduct 1 week's course to give that first lesson to this person. Don't begin to speak just all at once. Sit in meditation. Be silent for a few minutes. When you feel that now you are soul conscious, you remember Shiv Baba, you love him, then begin to speak. You see. Like when the doctor gives the injection, first of all sterilizes the needle, then gives it. First of all, you must practice meditation. You begin to tell others that the identity is of a soul without yourself realizing that, being in that state. So, first of all is our stage, our mental and spiritual stage, that I should be stabilized in my spiritual consciousness. I should have my link with Shiv Baba. Then begin to do. And Baba says, when early in the morning when you get up, when your eyes are first open, you are still in your bed. You have not come down from your bed. Your eyes are just open. You first of all think, I am a soul. The very first thought which should enter your mind, it should become natural to you. I am a soul. A point of light. And think of Shiv Baba. Think of, have love for him. And then put your feet down from your bed. Then begin to do actions only afterwards. Your mental stage is the first which you must do. Thank you. Om Shanti.